All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And by the way, when I say I was drunk, I mean I was drunk in the Holy Ghost. This wasn't, I hadn't been, you know, tipping and dipping. Okay. All right. Just want to make that so that sound bite would be right. Okay. The thing that we call this is a healing night. What do we call it? Healing, whatever we call it. Healing service. Okay. Let's call it healing and miracle service. Okay. Now, you gotta take heed because your words mean a lot. And when you're talking about healing, you're talking about, you know, God's healing power and healing people. But sometimes healing can take place gradually. See? But when you're talking about miracles, you're talking about something that's instant. Okay? So we have a healing and miracle service. I'm tending right now toward the miracle side. I want to see miracles. Okay? Verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Then the men were coming to him. They said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Now understand, that's in the same hour. Then Jesus answering and said to them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. We're going to call this the Jesus of miracles. The Jesus of miracles. Now, this is an account here. John the Baptist, as you know, was a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, in fact, set the stage for the coming of the Lord. And God raised him. He was thought to be raised in a community called the Qumran community, which was a holy sect of Jews. And you didn't even hear about John the Baptist, except when he was born, of course. But you didn't hear about him after that until it was time for his calling. And they said that in the community that he was raised, it was the only community that they still had prophecy going forth. During some years between the Old and New Testament, they call the intertestamental period, historically, in Bible teaching, that was a quiet period. In other words, no prophecy went forth. But they tell me that prophecy, the writings, historians say that prophecy was taking place in that community that John the Baptist was raised in. So God had earmarked him even from his mother's birth. Remember, his mother was Elizabeth, and his father was, anybody remember? Zacharias, right. Remember, Zacharias wanted to name him Zach Jr. Remember that? And what happened to his mouth? That was a miracle right there. We can start it right there. Praise the Lord. But so words have a lot to do with it, and God had to stop Zacharias, the priest, from speaking certain things. And I think one of the things we want to do is we want to talk a little bit more about miracles in terms of things happening with God. And because when you're talking about miracles, you are talking about miracles which happen, of course, by God, by the Holy Spirit. But these are things that circumvent time and the natural process of the order of things. And it makes it so that things happen more instantly and so forth. If you go to some of the services that some of the big evangelists have, they call them, you know, you see the word miracle in there, miracle services, because One thing about it is sometimes people go home and things happen gradually and they come back to give a testimony and people say, well, you know, that would have happened anyway and so forth and so on. But one of the things that happened when the disciples or when Jesus was ministering, things were undeniable. You couldn't deny them. One time this man here who had never walked, everybody knew him. Next thing you know, he was walking, leaping and praising God. And so these are things that you couldn't deny. But at the same time, there was great opposition against them. And the reason why there's great opposition against them, because the miracles are proof. They're proof. Anytime you deal with courtrooms, you need some proof. And people are evaluating it. It's a court of the mind or of the heart. And God gives proof to show who he is. And so when you're talking about Jesus of miracles, this is something that all kinds of things have been spoken about, meaning that, well, miracles have passed away or they went away with the apostles and so forth and so on. I mean, I have listened to radio broadcasts here in Chicago that people have come on and said, you know, well, these things, and they talk with this real bass voice, well, you know, these things here are something that have, da-da, and they give all these big words, which hermeneutical, eschatological, evangelical doodab, you know? And the next thing you know, it's designed to try to, persuade you, the court of your mind. And so, but when you have an actual miracle takes place, it takes away that process that people go through trying to analyze whether this thing is so. Because a miracle is actually something that takes place on another dimension, on another level. And you cannot explain it with the natural mind. You people can try to explain it, but I think further as we get further into things, God's given us a revelation of the process of miracles and how they, you know, how they happen and how they're actually under people's control. And I've been studying some of that, so, and I know that is true. But the idea of miracles is there is proof of something. And what we're saying here is that Jesus was giving proof. The man asked him, he said, now, wait a minute. Go and see, is this the one or do we wait for another? Is there another one coming? Now, understand, John the Baptist was the same one that said, behold, the Lamb of God has taken away the sins of the world. But now somehow either the revelation was lost or whatever. And I think because he had come to the end of his ministry, the Holy Spirit had lifted and so forth. That's why I say sometimes you are talking to people and you say things to them under the leading of the Holy Ghost now, under the leading of God. And you say something to them and then you get back home and say, oh boy, why did I say that? Well, you said it under the anointing. But don't get home and go into a depression about it because, you know, this is what the Holy Ghost led you to say. I call it post-prophetic syndrome. And what we don't want to do is don't do it. Because I'm telling you, I've said things under the anointing here. And I'm telling you, the enemy didn't wait till I got home. He got me on displays. And as I turned on the 22nd, you're gonna get it now. God didn't like what you just said and so forth like that. And you almost have to get back up in the spirit and hear God's voice again to get your peace. But what I do is give it 3 days. Whatever I said to you, I'm gonna give it 3 days. If it's within 3 days, God will talk to me. Because one of the things the devil can't stand is time. And because it'll always expose it. Now, look what it says here. It says, now here is John, and John sent them to a witness about Jesus. And it said, you know, are you the one? Should we look for another? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits. And to many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answered, said, go your way now and tell John what things you've seen and heard. That's verse number 23. And heard how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor, the gospel is preached. So it seems like when Jesus preached about the kingdom, it always was accomplished or accompanied by miracles. And that miracles were always a part of his ministry. And I dare say that that's what has happened now. People have talked about the historical Jesus. Well, that's fine. That's good. But that's not all there is to it. The Bible speaks in the epistles about the full gospel. This is gospel that not only in word, but in what? In deed, in power. And so God wants to come with power. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. And God wants to demonstrate this now. I'm not saying just demonstrate it to some preacher. I'm talking about through any reacher, any person that's reaching out for God, that God wants to demonstrate in this hour. See, I believe we are one of the generations here that's going to help close this thing out. And there's a lot of evangelism that's got to take place. And people have got to be convinced that Jesus is Lord. So, wherever the early church or Jesus declared the gospel, it seems like the confirmation was there of the message with miracles. And so I think one of the things we have to do is we have to expect miracles. We have to know that the Holy Ghost is here to confirm whatever we have said. Now, I'm not talking about just miracles taking place in here that have to do with somebody getting a restored kidney or whatever have you, but even miracles in the marketplace. I'm saying that somehow we have written the church in general, not you, but has written miracles out of the program. It's almost like the whole thing has become intellectual. And God wants to get back to those miracles. He wants to get back to the Jesus of the Bible. And so the word always comes with supernatural proof or miracles. Now, if we go, can I take my time on this? All right. Now, as we look here, Jesus had a lot of opposition, and most of his opposition came from the leadership. Let's go over to John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9, it says here, starting at verse 1, and Jesus passed by. As he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, I think what Jesus was doing here, he's going all the way back to the Garden of Eden and saying, that's where sin took place. And because the curse is loosed, now the mankind is in a place where man has got to be born again or got to have a covenant of got to have healing because the curse is all around. And he says here in verse 4, I'm as work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made his clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now, right there, that's a departure from the normal way that we do things. Having a man spit and get some mud with some spit and put on you. I mean, how many people would allow me? Well, I won't say any more. Verse 7, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Then the neighbors therefore that and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, is not this that he that sat and begged? And some said, well, this is he. Others said, well, he looks like him. Therefore said they unto him, how were thy eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Made clay and anointed my eyes, Lord Jesus, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And as it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, then again the Pharisees also asked him, how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. And therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he has opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye said was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and we know he is born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we still don't know. He's of age, why don't you ask him? These words spake his parents because they what? Feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if any man did confess that Jesus, he was a Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Folks, I'm telling you, that same thing is going on here today. In other words, there have been leadership that have been blocking the door to the salvation and the healing and the miracles that have been supposed to go on with God. And I'm saying right now that this piece here is coming back because I sense that God is going to restore the years. There's going to be a real resurgence of miracles in the house of God. And that's the way God had intended it to be from the very beginning. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, the Bible talks about us as a tabernacle. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, please. Acts chapter 7. Praise God. Acts chapter 7. Glory to God. Let me know when you get to Acts chapter 7. Now, I'm kind of slowing down here because I'm doing the teaching while we're doing this. If I could, I would just like to show you Acts, put something right there, Acts chapter 4, and look here at verse 12, Acts 4 and verse 12. If you have it, say praise the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is that name?
Jesus.
Verse 13. Now when they saw the holiness of Peter and John, now this is because the man who was lame from his mother's womb got healed, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with who?
Jesus.
And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say what? Nothing against it. See, that's the problem with this miracle stuff. You can't, what are you going to say? Or your argument goes away. One miracle is worth 1,000 sermons. One miracle. It'll take away a whole lot of talking that people are trying to do. You don't need to talk that much. Just work a miracle. And I know that we've been winning people onesie, twosie, threesie. But when you work miracles, I mean, go out down that mission field, you win them by the hundreds. Because it's undeniable proof. And what you're proving is that the one who died is alive. That's the whole idea about the miracles. It's proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what they talk about all through Acts. See, Confucius died. He's dead. Buddha died. He's dead. But Jesus died, and he's alive. But him coming up, the key is he's doing the same thing today that he did yesterday. See, can't you see it? He said to you, he said, I'm going and I'm going to send you another comforter. And then he says, I'm going to come to you. See, you are little Jesuses. He's in you, touching, healing, working miracles, the same as he did. That's the whole idea. The Holy Ghost came on you and he brought the person of Christ right back inside of you. And he's the same. He's still working miracles today. He wants to work through you. Are you following what I'm saying? So what you got to do is you got to, one, expect a miracle. Now, I want you to hear that. You've got to expect a miracle. Now, the one who brings the power for the miracle is the Holy Ghost. And that's why he said in Acts chapter 1, I done left my notes now. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Then he said that the Holy Ghost, 1:8, and you shall receive power after that who? The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Shall be what? Witnesses. So what are you going to witness about? You're going to witness about the one who came, he died, and rose again for your sins. You're going to witness about him. How are you going to witness about him? You're going to show proof. You're going to show proof he's not dead anymore. He's alive. He's doing the same thing as he did in the Bible. Same thing. And what you got to do is you got to first be willing to give him the credit. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a lot of times people don't want to give other folk credit for what they've done because they're trying to make themselves something. No, I'm just a witness. Now, I'm saying that because you can get miracles to flow through you very, very easily. But you got to get out of the way. You're just a vessel. You're the tabernacle. Lord have mercy. Can we do that a little bit? Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 7 here. Acts chapter 7, and look what it says here. I'll go all the way down to verse 43. He said, yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Raphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of what? Witness where? In the wilderness, all right? And he said, and he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion of him that had seen. Now that's over in Exodus chapter 25. But let's go to Numbers, if you will. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Let me know when you get there. Now, here they are in Numbers chapter 16. Ooh, wait a minute. Hold on just a second. Numbers 17. Could I take you there, please? Numbers 17. In Numbers chapter 17, this is when they were arguing about who was going to take the priestly leadership. Now, God spoke to Moses and told him what to do. Verse 6. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes or leaders gave him a what? A rod, a piece. For each prince, one according to their father's houses, even 12 rods. And the rod of Aaron was among their rods. So each leader, 12 tribes, gave him a rod. The rod of Aaron was among there. Now Aaron was the choice for the priest. Verse 7, and Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the what? Tabernacle of what? Witness. Now hold on to that now. And it came to pass that on the morrow, Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Moses for the house of Levi was what? Budded. And brought forth what? Buds. And bloomed and blossomed and yielded what? Almonds. Now notice the miracle that took place. That it didn't need time to grow. Time had gone away. Now here's a stick that's attached to no ground, laid on this place in the tabernacle, and because of the presence of God in the tabernacle, miracles took place. All right, go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16, please. 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Have you got it? Oh, I said 16. Pardon me. Chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 19. You with me? What? Know ye not that your what? Body, come on, is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you, which you have received how? Of God. You are what? Not your own. Next verse, so we can make sure you understand it. For you are what? Bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, keep going, which are God's. So God takes ownership of you so he can deposit his power in you, that you will be a powerhouse, that wherever you go, that you can be used by God to work miracles for God, giving proof that your Lord Jesus is not dead, but he's now alive. Now, this is key for you to know, because it's interesting about the calling of God. It's interesting about the anointing of God. That anointing that you have needs to be stirred up. So let me give you an illustration that I think you'll remember. I drink tea, and I take my hot tea and I put honey in it. And so the honey is in it. Now I taste it, but it doesn't taste like honey is in it. Why? Because I haven't what? Stirred it. This anointing demands that you stir it. It demands that you stir it. And you will find the more you lay hands, the more you pray for sick, the more you do that, the more powerful it gets. Just keep stirring it. See, it takes a demand on it. You got what I'm saying? I told my wife, I used to tell her, covenant is made for contact. I used to go out there in those places, and I used to go out and take the word of God out to different places in Tulsa when we were there, and I was in Bible school, and I'd pack up my stuff and take it out there and so forth, and I'd go out there. But if I ever went out two or three nights in succession and so forth, the power of God got stronger and got stronger and got stronger. And just one night, the gentleman came out, and you know, I always try to get somebody out who got saved the previous night to help me that night. That's a way of discipling them immediately when you get them born again. And here he was out there, and he had a little problem with alcohol and everything, and you know, God's got a sense of humor, boy. He'll kind of look over some things, and the guy, you know, he's out there, yes, sir, I'm going to help you. But what happened to him is he got healed. And what happened is he had his wife or whoever had cut him. She had cut his wrist so he couldn't move his hand, because she had cut the tendon in his wrist and then cut his side. Now, understand, all this was all bandaged up, so he couldn't move his hand. So, I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, it was two people involved. One guy was helping me, and the other guy had his wrist cut. This guy had gotten saved and so forth, and he was doing the best he could. You know, yes, sir, Reverend. Okay, preacher, okay, all right, what do you want me to do? I said, just stand there. Just stand there. Don't do anything yet. Just stand there. And so forth. I remember when I walked out there one time, and you know, they'd be shooting out there, and one of the little kids say, who, I'm going to say it just like he said, who with you? And I said, angels are with me. Oh, okay. And he walked on away. But anyway, so this guy had his wrist cut, and he had his side cut. So he had this bandaged up, had this bandaged up. So he couldn't move his fingers. So I ministered the word of God. Then I called for people to come and be born again. So this guy was one of the people that gave his life to the Lord that night. Now, understand, I'm just out there in the middle of these projects now. My cord is going through a lady's window, and she got him hooked up there. because I figure I own this. I'm talking about the planet. And my daddy owns all of this, and I can go wherever I want to when I want to go. So what happened was, I remember that time Ernie went out with me, and it was about to rain. I'm setting up my stuff, and it's about to rain. And he said, "Hey, Brother Bill, we better take this stuff down, man. Look at them clouds. You see that, them clouds?" I said, "Ernie, don't even worry about nothing. In the name of Jesus, I command you, go." About 5 minutes later, he looked, "Brother Bill, this thing cleared up, man." He went back at the school and told everybody about that he saw. Now, I'm only saying this, saints. We've got something to say about this earth. The authority that he's given to us, that nothing is permitted in this earth unless we permit it.
Yes, sir.
But you got to get a consciousness of that. I'm writing a newsletter to my partners. This one is powerful, called "You Are Gods." And that is the one thing Satan does not want you to know or have a consciousness of. But anyway, so what happened is the man had come, so he couldn't move his hand. So I said, "What's wrong with your hand?" He said, "My wife or whoever cut me." And I said, "Okay." She said, "Cut me." I said, "You can't move your finger." He said, "No, sir." I said, "All right, let's let Jesus heal you." I said, give me a hand. And his hand was in a sling, and took it. And I prayed in the name of Jesus, "Be healed." It's like that. He started moving it. She said, "Look at that. I can move him." Here's a guy who just came from Lodi Bar. And He stepped up kind of in front of me and said, "Well, shake my hand then, shake it." Oh, I said, "Oh, Lord." But the guy, he shook his head. Look at that, preacher. Look at that. I said, "Yeah, Jesus is a healer. Man, I'm going to go take the medicine. I better heal my side too. I'm going home and take it off." Came back and told me, "Preacher, he healed me all over. He healed me." Miracles. Next night, more people come. Miracles. Somehow we're trying to intellectually do this. I just went to a conference, came back from there. What are they doing? They're doing prayer evangelism. What are they doing? They walk in neighborhoods. They walk in neighborhoods two by two and just speaking over houses. "Father, I pray that you bless this house. I pray that you bless this." They said, "You got to pray the blessing, because what the blessing does is remove Satan so that they'll hear God and be able to be saved." "Father, I bless this. I bless this house. I bless this. I bless this place right here. I speak right now, new hotels. I speak some houses in here. I bless this and bless." That's all you got to do now. See, that's the power that you got. Do you follow what I'm saying? And Newark has totally changed. They had the people come from Newark to give testimonies and all that. And Newark was a murder capital. And now Newark's murders are down almost 90%. Hardly any of them are happening and so forth. If you can do that from Newark, you can do it for Chicago. Watch this. You don't need to go nowhere, raising no sand, no forth and so on. Just walk the neighborhood. "Father, I bless this neighborhood right now. No more murders in this neighborhood. I just bless this neighborhood." You can do it anywhere, anytime, any place. Are you following what I'm saying? So what am I saying? Miracles. Proof of God's power. And what are they doing? They're giving a witness that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about miracles in the Bible? How about the time you go back to Abraham, 100 years old, having babies? How about Sarah? She never had a child. Might be some people in here who's had the tubes tied, or people who had their ovaries taken out or so forth. That doesn't make any difference. Miracles will put new ovaries in there. Miracles will do anything. Doesn't make any difference. See, once you think miracles, all things become possible now. So don't be talking about what you don't have or what the doctor said or something. We're not even considering that anymore. We're considering one thing, what Jesus said. I said what Jesus said. He said, go your way and tell John things you have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and to the poor, the gospel has been preached. And I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, please. Jesus is in you now. Say, he's in me now. See, the Holy Ghost, he's waiting on the word. What happened in the beginning of time when the earth was out there and it was dark and so forth? What was the Holy Ghost doing at that time? He was moving over the earth. Notice, nothing happened. Nothing happened with the Holy Ghost by himself. Nothing happened, but a voice came from eternal and said, light be! And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost took that and energized it. I'm telling you, when you walk the neighborhood and you say, life be, hallelujah, you say, healings be, I'm telling you, the same thing that happened. The Holy Ghost is in here right now. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Abraham, Sarah had a baby. How about Moses going before Pharaoh? I want to show you one place on that. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 4, please. I like this verse. Exodus chapter 4. You remember Moses? The first time the children of Israel needed water, what did he tell Moses to do? Strike a rock. Didn't he tell him to do it? Did Moses strike the rock? Water came out. Thousands of gallons a day came out of one rock. Then he told them the next time when they wanted water, what did he tell them to do to the rock? He didn't tell them to strike it. He said, step back and just speak to it. You see, God wants people to know that he's doing this. It's not no trickery. There's not anything else. I'm telling you, we're moving to speak the word only. That's where we're moving to. What it says in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 17. I like this verse. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, and with this rod you shall do miracles. You shall do signs. Well, the rod is in your mouth. Glory to God. And you shall do miracles. Where did I tell you to turn before that? Hebrews chapter 13. All right, Hebrews chapter 13 says this in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the what? Same. Keep going. Yesterday, today, and forever. Now understand, this power that's in you is 24/7. It's not something that goes out when sun goes down. It's something that is stirring. It's forever. Also some miracles in the Bible, because if the Bible has no miracles, it'll just be like another history book. Look what it did. And some of the miracles in the Bible, how about Moses and Pharaoh? And he worked several miracles through Moses. Let's go further. How about even Joshua? He told Joshua to march around a place called what? Jericho. When he marched around there for 7 days, the Bible says he just shouted and the Jericho walls came down. That's called a miracle. You see, the Bible is a miracle book. Let's go all the way down to 1 Kings chapter 18. A man named Elijah called fire down. They had tried to produce a miracle with their own gods, but they couldn't get anything to happen. The Bible says they dance around that altar all day, and it started to get evening. And Elijah started asking them, is your God on vacation? Where is he? I'm telling you, God is present with you. You see, somehow we think that the Holy Ghost sometimes is not God. He's as much God as God is God. He's right here. This man one time was telling me about a ministry was out on the south side, way south, and there's a man that came that ministered, and evangelist, and he came in, and he was the guy came up to meet him after he finished ministering, and he shook his hand and everything, and he said, I want you to meet my son. He said, now he's been rebellious, and even though I'm a preacher, I'm trying to get him into the church and so forth. He said, well, bring him on up. He brought him up, and God took him and shook his hand. He said, hello, I'm so-and-so and so-and-so, what's your name? And he opened his mouth to tell him his name and couldn't speak. And then the young man is a teenager. He stepped back. He said, "No, tell me your name." Opened his mouth and couldn't speak. He said, no, just tell me your name. He couldn't speak and he started crying and got saved right there. And I'm telling you right now, God knows how to get to everybody. And I'm not saying he's shutting mouths and voice cards, but I'm telling you, that young man was rebellious and God did a quick act right there in the middle of those people to show that boy that Jesus is Lord. And that the power of God is stronger than anything that he's being pulled in the world about. How about 1 Kings chapter 2 Kings? 2 Kings chapter 4, where the woman who had a child who couldn't have children. How about the other woman whose daughter or son had died, and she went to the man of God, and he went and laid on top of her, and the child sneezed 7 times and got up. How about Esther going before the king and inheriting half the kingdom? How about Daniel thrown in the lion's den? The lion wouldn't bite him. The 3 Hebrews put in fire, but the fire wouldn't burn them. And how about Joshua even stopping the sun about a whole day? How about Jesus feeding 5,000 plus men and women and children? How about miracle in the wilderness where they got fed meat for a whole month, 3 million people, and there wasn't a goose in sight? How about the man who is by the pool of Bethesda? Let's go over there, please. Let's go over to John chapter 5. I'm talking about the Bible of miracles. I said the Bible of miracles. God wants to work miracles in our lives. He wants you to show other people that Jesus, proof that he's there. Look what it says here in John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were blind, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down in a certain season into a pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. That's a long time. And Jesus saw him lie and knew now that he had been a long time in this case. And he said to him, "Will you be made whole?" And the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in a pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was a what? Was a Sabbath. Now, the Jews therefore said to him that was cured, "It's a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up your bed and walk." And then asked they him, "What man is this which said unto thee, take up your bed and walk?" And he was healed, wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and the multitude being in that place. And afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple, he said to him, "Behold, you're made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on you." And then in this, he is saying, now, wait a minute. Now, sin no more. Now, that just can't mean just sin, because none of us at the place now where we absolutely are totally free of sin. When I say that, I mean even in our thoughts sometimes. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I don't know. You might be. There might be somebody. Raise your hand if you totally, totally free. There might be somebody. So you know it didn't mean quite that, but it did mean that these things that he had already accomplished, don't go back to those things. Leave those things right there. And keep your mind right and keep your mind pressing ahead to get the best of God. So I'm saying, what am I saying to you? That there's a miracle ministry of Christ, and that miracle ministry is with you right now. And the Holy Spirit has come in you to lift up Jesus He's come in you to make a difference in this world, that you will be one that he will use to witness about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now, when he sent him forth, after he sent him forth, last place, Luke chapter 10, please. Over in Luke chapter 10, now he's sending them out. And that's the same thing about you, we're sending you out. All right? Now, says Luke chapter 10, glory to God. And these the Lord appointed another 70 also and sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place where he himself would come. By the way, we're going to do some prayer evangelism out of this church. We're going to start doing some prayer. Yes, indeed. We're going to organize folks in certain neighborhoods and go. They just did it once a week, went out on Saturdays, I guess, and the whole city changed. Lord have mercy. Isn't that wonderful? He said, therefore, he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Go your way, and behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Then he goes in verse 9, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the who? Devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over how much? All the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. Jesus of miracles. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to believe God that anybody has any needs any prayer tonight, that the Jesus of miracles is here. And the same Jesus that work healing and miracles in people's lives in those times, they're going to work miracles in people's lives today. Now, I want to share something with you. This is not hard. All you have to do is believe. It's not hard. All you have to do is believe. And the more you're committed to God and his way of doing things, the easier and better and more powerful it works. All right? I just see people, and this takes faith. You know, God does nothing without faith. It does nothing apart from a seed and does nothing without love. So this whole idea of faith is in this, that you have to minister this by faith. Now, understand, it's not you. We were having a crusade one time in Minnesota, and a lady came up. Her face was stinging and all the time, so forth. And I just took my hand, just by the agency of the Holy Ghost, laid my hand on her face and said, be healed in Jesus' name. That's what I said. Well, her face stopped. And she stepped back, and she said, it's not hurting anymore. And she was with somebody else. She was Filipino or something. And she said, he healed me. I said, no, ma'am, I didn't heal you. Oh, yes, you did. You healed me. Now, I'm just saying, they might kind of press in, but don't take the credit. Don't take the credit. Now, I'm telling you this because folks start trying to build ministries on this. And he didn't tell you to build a ministry on this. He told you to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Got it? And you're going to find your harvest right there at your job. Got it? You don't need to start no ministry. Well, I believe I'll back off and I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to live by faith. Yeah, okay. And next thing you'll be calling me. But what we want to do is we want to have the Lord to do this. Now, that's the same thing about the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I think. This is the way I operate. I'm here acting like Jesus. I am not God, but I am a son of God. And his power is going to work through me. And I am conscious of that. I am not walking without consciousness that the same power that was on Jesus is in me. Same power. Now, I don't necessarily need to touch anybody. Because he sent his word and it healed him. And that if you are sitting anywhere here or over television, the Holy Ghost is all over the earth. He just wants the word. You got what I'm saying? So I just believe that as I speak, oh Jesus, the Spirit of God moves. He does the healing. I don't do the healing. I can't heal a fly. But the power that's working in me and through me is the healing power of God. He said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God or by the Spirit of God, then you know the kingdom of God has come to you. Am I right about it? So let's just, right now, I want to pray first. I want to pray that anybody here that doesn't know God, know Jesus, that I want to first pray to get you into the kingdom of God. So if your life is not right with God and God is speaking to you right now, I want you to give your life to Christ. Allow me to pray with you and bring you into the kingdom of God so everything that Jesus died for now is available to you. Now, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you've come from in your life or background or whatever have you, but it doesn't make any difference. What makes the difference today is that God loves you. And God has spoken to you right now during my service about getting your life right with him. So whoever that is, I want to pray with you right now. If you want me to pray with you, get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me right now. Come right on, stand here. Come on over this side. Whoever it is, get up out of your chair and come on up here and stand with me. Come on now. Come on, that's not all. If you're here, and you know in your life,